Congress is coming back next week, and members will drag behind them all the budget baggage they left undone earlier this year. A handful of fiscal experts gave Washington their 2 cents on how to solve DOD's multi-billion dollar problem. Details now from Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni.
Congress is back next week, and with it come some of the woes it left behind before the wistful summer recess. Once again, bulky bureaucratic words like appropriations and titles like Defense Authorization Bill will plague the lexicon. But just in case you couldn't wait one more week for the return to reality, a few think tanks decided to jump the gun and start the conversation. If you were busy the past few weeks doing something like, I don't know, enjoying your life, here's where things were left off with the defense budget. The appropriations bill that will pay for DOD's budget in 2017 is stuck in the Senate. The 2017 defense authorization bill is in conference between the two legislative bodies, and the Obama administration has threatened to veto that bill. Oh, and there's something called sequestration that's been threatening to return in 2018. Ta-da! Welcome back from summer break. So let's start off with the appropriations bill, since that funds the whole department. If Congress can't pass the bill, it's likely to pass a continuing resolution, or CR. Here's Heritage Foundation analyst Justin Johnson at a Heritage event in Washington on what that might mean for DOD.
What happens if they don't get these things done before September 30, the end of the fiscal year? Does it matter? Yes and no. I would place a priority for both of these bills on getting it done right, not getting it done by October 1st. We've had, just on the appropriation side for a second, we've had a CR for defense 7 years in a row. So every year of the Obama administration, there's been a CR. Under George W. Bush, 4 out of his 8 years, we had a CR for defense. In Clinton's last term, it was only 1 out of 4. And I took that a level deeper and looked at how long these CRs were. And the CRs are getting longer and more common for defense. The fact that those CRs are happening doesn't seem to actually be having a huge negative impact. A lot of that is because the CRs that are passed carry a lot of provisions, anomalies, as they're called on the appropriation side. They also carry special authorities. I'm sure Andrew can talk to you. There's always this dance between the NDAA and the appropriators on the special authorities that the authorizers really want to keep on the authorizing bills to make their bills more important, but the appropriators often end up carrying them, at least for short term. So my point is the situation's getting worse, but we're sort of muddling our way through it. I think for DOD, the real problem actually is in long-term CRs.
Okay, maybe not completely bad news for DOD's 2017 budget, considering there hasn't been a year-long defense CR in 20 years. This year is different, though, because it's an election year. If an appropriations bill isn't passed by the time the election's finished, a lame duck session might change the whole timeline. It might even completely pass the issue onto the next congressional class in January. Of course, appropriations are only one part of the puzzle. The defense authorization bills where major defense policy is formed, reforms are put into place, and efficiencies are implemented. That bill might have its own nuances to deal with, especially considering President Obama vetoed the NDAA last year. Here's Center for Strategic and International Studies policy analyst Andrew Hunter to explain.
So we started the year with this new fact on the ground. Well, yes, this president is willing to veto a defense bill, and it didn't really seem to hurt his political standing very much, so odds of him doing it again are not trivial. And so you see both the House and the Senate bill, it seems to me, effectively written in a way that says, all right, this is our pre-veto position, knowing that we're going to go to some other position in the post-veto world. But my point is, the veto is baked in at this point. The administration has made it very clear with its statement of administration policy, in my view, that another veto is coming. And both House and Senate bill was written with the expectation that they're probably going to get vetoed. And that's different. You mentioned I was in Congress for way too long. I can't think of another year during my time where the veto was a foregone conclusion. Makes me a little nervous, because once you start thinking about one veto, then you start to say, well, you know, maybe there could be a second veto. You know, maybe there could be a veto, bill could be modified, sent back to the president, maybe it could get vetoed again. And you have this interesting dynamic where it's Obama's last year, so him signing the bill or not signing the bill probably isn't going to make a major difference in his legacy either way, whomever the next incoming president is going to be. And potentially Senator McCain, depending on election outcomes, and there's like 4 or 5 different possibilities You know, he may be a lame duck chairman in one form or another. And so there could be some really interesting dynamics here at the end game. And that, I think, is different from where we've been in the past, even when there have been vetoes.
Even if Congress makes it pass all of that, it figures out a way to pass the two bills or punt them to the next Congress, sequestration is still on everyone's mind. But some budget experts say maybe the budget caps aren't all that bad after all. Yes, military officials whine and moan about not having enough money, but a lot of efficiencies can be found within the system. Plus, without some stopgap, spending would get out of control, analysts say. Here's former DoD comptroller and Booz Allen Hamilton analyst Bob Hale speaking about budget caps at the Brookings Institution.
But in the end, yes, I'd keep a cap because I think that discipline is important. Whether we need caps, we also at least need more debate outside of the discretionary portion of the budget. I don't know, maybe I can set up Alice here by quoting an idea that she had that I thought was a very good one, which is Congress ought to start appropriating for the entitlement portions of the budget. Right now they're on automatic pilot, and at least that would force them to debate what are growing portions of the budget. So, yes, we need caps, but we need them higher in the case of the discretionary spending, and we need to do something analogous in the non-defense entitlement portions of the budget.
But all of this is still conjecture. Congress doesn't come back until next week, and all the think tankers can do at this point is think and predict. How things will actually turn out is left to the fates. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this story with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/FederalDrive and click Share with Friends.